Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Just One Small Thing podcast, episode number 3. Hey guys, it's Nancy. Well, guess what? My guest for today did not show up. Probably some sort of issue with bedtime. So I'm going to be brave. I'm going to do the podcast all by myself. And I'm just going to see where that leads. So I was really thinking, I've been thinking a lot lately about my endeavors online. And I think this has led to me to something that I'm ready to share and ready to sort of put out into the world. So here's a little background on me. I have been blogging for 5 years. I became an at-home mom 6 years ago, almost exactly 6 years ago, and I found it very lonely because I was a high school English teacher before I became an at-home mom, and as an English teacher, there's just so much activity, and you know, you're on your feet all day, and it's hard work, but it's definitely not boring, and then all of a sudden, I was home with this tiny little baby. I couldn't even make eye contact, and I loved him very much. You know, I did suffer with postpartum depression after I had Gus, but, you know, that got taken care of. But I really had a hard time sort of retaining who I was, because so much of who I was a high school English teacher, and I taught at a contract alternative in Minneapolis, and I know that's probably just education nonsense words, but that just means wasn't a mainstream school as for people or for kids that had either were homeless, had a pregnancy, were in a juvenile detention center or drug use. And anyways, it was hard work and sad work and great work. And it was all of what I was. So I was desperate to be an at-home mom, but when I got home and stayed home, I didn't really know how to do it. So I started a blog, and I'm very grateful I did. I blogged for a year and a half without making a cent, and I really didn't care to. And in fact, all I really shared were crafts. And if you follow me at all on my blog, Do Small Things with Love, you know that I do love crafting very much. And it's just something I've always done since I was a girl, especially cross stitch. It helps me calm down, and I love the creating process. Even if what I create, I don't ever hang up on the wall. I do love the process. So blogging kind of just let me have my own little space, even if it was just a virtual space. So I kept blogging, and I made some blogging friends. And unlike a lot of people, I actually didn't meet Catholic bloggers. I met crafty bloggers, and they were fine, and they were fun, and I learned a lot with them. But I got to the point where I didn't really see the purpose of continuing on. Even though I was starting to make a little money with ad revenue and stuff, I just didn't see what the point was to keep going. So way back then, I kind of was like, well, if I'm going to do it, I might as well make something meaningful. So at that point, I made a Rosary Quiet book. I'm like, well, no one's going to even care about this because, you know, like the people that are crafty and the people that are Catholic, you know, just felt like there was no one out there that would really be interested. But people were. And I started to realize, like, you know what? There's a lot of people like me. A lot of people that are Catholic, that are mothers of young children, and that are really looking for some sort of community, you know, that are living in neighborhoods like I am, out in the suburbs that become ghost towns in the middle of the day, and, you know, that are kind of searching for something else. And so anyway, so that's kind of where I decided to go with my blog way back then. I started blogging exclusively for Catholic women. At first, I was just sort of creating crafts kind of exclusively for Catholic women. I made all the saints in cross stitch, and, you know, I got a little bit carried away probably, but I had so much fun doing those, and I still do. In fact, just today, we have some friends over at our house, and she's, you know, a Luddite. She doesn't go online, which, you know, God bless her. She's got so much time on her hands than I do. But, you know, she never heard of my cross-stitch saints before, so I had so much fun, you know, giving her a book and showing her, you know, I felt like a little kid. But seriously, my favorite thing in the world when I get an email and it's a picture of a saint that a little kid has cross-stitched, you know, and even if the stitches are all messed up or whatever, it's totally my favorite thing in the whole wide world. So anyway, so I got a lot of pleasure from that. But I always get to this point where I'm like, okay, you know, how many crafts can one person do, including me? And, you know, the church already has so much great art and so much great, you know, activities for children and everything. So I did get to the point where I'm like, where do I go from here? And does it make sense to keep blogging? You know, should I invest my time in the community that I'm in or something? So I recently came to a decision that I didn't want to just keep blogging. That to me, you know, I kind of am always looking for the next challenge, which, you know, podcasting in itself is definitely a learning curve and a challenge. So that's why I've decided to do this. But I was looking for something more. And so, and this is going to sound really, really bold, so I decided to do something, and it's terrifically bold, and you're probably going to think I'm an egomaniac, but I decided to start a movement. And of course, the movement is based on nothing that I have ever come up with on my own. It's simply ideas from those greater that, you know, were much more dedicated to prayer and much more, had a much holier vision. But I just really wanted to start a movement. I don't care about page views. I don't care how many people like my Facebook page. I mean, who cares about that? But I just thought, why not really try to do something? Even just me, just little Nancy in my basement with my laptop. Why not try to do something? And so I had this idea in the back of my mind. And then something remarkable happened yesterday. So at the time I'm recording this, just yesterday I posted something on my blog. I've been working on trying to create something for Catholic married women, something that will help us apply the teachings and writings of St. Pope John Paul II, you know, like the theology of the body, love and responsibility, apply those to our lives in a practical way and have an environment of women to talk about them in a safe way. So I pitched this and then I said, you know, I do need help. So I asked Catholic women to take a minute and fill out a very simple survey for me so that I could make sure I was hitting on all the important parts. And here's what happened. It was a simple survey, 3 clicks. In 24 hours, 2,000 people came and filled out that survey. 2,000 people. And now this is just me. This is just me in my basement, on my laptop, messing around with things. You know, I don't have the reach of a lot of people. I'm no one of note in the Catholic world. And yet 2,000 Catholic married women, I mean, that's a pretty specific group, took their time to come and fill out the survey. And hundreds of them commented on my blog saying that they were excited about this course. So I just thought, you know what? I mean, I had this idea for creating a movement. I had it kind of in the back of my head and I was embarrassed and I told a few friends and I felt silly saying it. But then this flood of women came, clicked through, clicked a few things, gave me some feedback, and I just thought, you know what? We are a force to be reckoned with and we can start a movement. So it's not a very small thing, but that's what I wanted to talk about today, the movement. And with any movement, of course, you have to have a motto. So I've been thinking and thinking about this. And of course, you know, if you know the name of my blog, if you know the name of this podcast, you know that I really like St. Therese. And although I struggle every day to embrace the things that she teaches or, you know, in her consecration, I've really been thinking about how compatible her wisdom is with the life of a mother, or just basically the life that women, you know, whether you're married or have children or not, the life that women are called to live. And it's not, you know, this isn't, I'm not trying to say that women aren't called to do huge things. Of course, some women are. But I think, you know, and this applies to men too, but I know especially for me in my own life right now, I hate to say it, but I'm called to live a very little life right now. You know, the things that I do every day, you know, me sitting here and talking about a movement on a podcast, this is the tiniest, tiniest percentage of my day. And this isn't what I do. You know, what I do is dishes. We have company here who's wonderful. You know, I spent my whole day in the kitchen today, taking only breaks to change diapers and break up fights and get kids down for naps. Oh, and I did a lot of laundry too. You know, that was my day. I did little things. But I've really been thinking about how we women really can do great things through these little things. And so the motto for this movement, something that we can boldly take out to the world, is through small things, greatness. Through small things, greatness. And it's not that we are going to get some sort of award or notoriety for the way we live, but I just think how wonderful it would be if Catholic women, women that are choosing life in whatever way that means, whether that means having babies or complying with the church's teachings on NFP or taking care of elderly that are sick, or just, you know, receiving the people that walk into our lives with love and affection, in whatever way that we are choosing life, that we can do it in a way, in those very, very small moments, that reflects love and that reflects our desire to do God's will in that moment. So I've been really thinking about that, being very deliberate. And in fact, wasn't going to announce this yet, but I think I might as well. For those of you that bought a planner for me last year, well, thank you, first of all, and I've decided to do the planner again this year. If you haven't heard of it, the planner is designed specifically for Catholic women. It includes all the Catholic feast days. Every day has a listing of the daily readings, lots of scripture, and it's just supposed to be kind of organized specifically for Catholic women. I designed it myself last year, even though my Adobe Suite training is 100% YouTube-based. This year, I'm working with a real designer and a real publisher, and we're going to make it really nice. I'm going to slim it down and make it so streamlined and use a lot of the feedback I've gotten. So anyways, but as I'm creating this planner, I keep thinking, like, I want a planner that helps me embrace the small things in a loving way and to really use those small things to work towards the greater glory of God, even if it only leads to my human, you know, even if I am only humbled through these things. But I want a planner that always takes me back to that idea that the small things matter, and that the small things, if I can do them in a way that shows love, that through that great things can happen, even if I never see those great things. So I'm going to put that motto on the cover of the planner for this year, and it's going to be a beautiful, colorful planner this year. I'm so excited, and I'm going to try very hard to keep it reasonably priced. That is my ultimate, my every decision with the planner is guided by, can I make it more reasonably priced? And so I'm kind of fighting with a publisher a little bit on that, but I'm determined to win. But I really want something that is simple and that really draws me back every single moment to the small things, to the small things. You know, one of the things that I do struggle with, and I have to admit it, is that through the internet, I think we all can really be drawn into issues with pride. Or maybe even not just pride, but focusing on silly things to determine our worth. And I'm as bad about this as anybody. You know, like, you post something. I mean, I'm terrible. I'm terrible on Facebook. I totally fail at social media, which, and it's not like I don't go there. I'm not easily open about things I experience. So it's hard for me. And, you know, sometimes I'll get frustrated. Like, I'll share a really adorable picture of our kids on my Facebook page, and then my husband will share that picture onto his page, you know, and I'll get like 10 likes and he'll get like a million, you know. But it's because he's a social animal. He's out there liking and commenting, and, you know, but it's hard to not be like, oh man, people don't care. But, you know, it's my own fault. But it's just, it's hard not to get kind of wrapped up in being bigger, being better, being more popular, especially when you can see it in an actual number count at the bottom of a picture every single day. It's just, that's really hard. And it's really hard for me. And the problem with blogging or doing anything online is that you have infinite data. And it can be so overwhelming. You know, I can go into Google Analytics, not that I really know everything in there, but I can go in there and I can tell you exactly how many people are on my blog during a day or even during a moment. And I can compare it to other people, or, you know, how many more followers did I get on Pinterest, or how much traffic did I get, blah, 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 blah. Oh, was that post viral? You know what? I could really start comparing myself. And I do. It's hard. It's very hard not to, you know. And then when money gets into the equation, it's incredibly hard, you know, especially when I'm friends with people doing the same type of thing. You know, why are they more successful than me? And it's very hard when there are kind of pressures and numbers with these things to not get wrapped up in them. And I have found that especially even when I'm having success, it's hard not to be proud. And it's hard not to see these things as my own accomplishments, which is embarrassing for me. And I really hate that, especially since I have determined to blog exclusively for Catholic women. And I feel like the ideas I'm sharing are nothing that I have come up with. You know, I'm not trying to outdo JP2 or Saint Therese or Mother Teresa or whoever. I'm not trying to outdo them. I'm simply trying to communicate their wisdom through everyday examples from my own life, my own very imperfect life. So it's hard for me to find that balance. And because I am prone to thinking too highly of myself or getting wrapped up in false measures of who I am and what I do, I am really, really trying hard to always, always bring it back to the small things, to the small things, to the small things. And to really, this is something else I'm really trying to embrace. I'm trying to also really believe that the small things I do are just as important as the things that I see as big. You know, for example, here, sitting here recording this podcast, you know, I can easily imagine all the women out there listening to this. You know, maybe all 2,000 women that filled out that marriage survey will sit here and, you know, in awe. That's hilarious. In awe of me sitting here and sharing these things, you know, with tears running down their faces. No, impossible. But, you know, it's hard for me, hard for this moment here talking to you. It's hard for this not to feel bigger than the other moments of my day. You know, the moments of doing laundry or dealing with a tantrum or even just trying to communicate with my husband about something that we are failing to see eye to eye on. You know, this feels bigger. But I'm really trying to remember that it isn't. It isn't. That this serving you, serving this community is wonderful. But I am not called to be holier here. I am called to holiness just as much now as I am when I'm, you know, putting the laundry into the dryer or changing kid out of the swimming suit into their clothes for the fifth time and it's not even 10 a.m. You know, it's just, that is such a hard thing for me to remember that I am nothing, that I need to ask for God's mercy every moment, and that those little ways that I can be obedient and that I can be cheerful and that I can really do those small tasks well. That's what matters. And on the days that I really can focus on those small things and do them well and enjoy them, I mean, the truth of the matter, yeah, I mean, I'm an imperfect housekeeper. I don't need to have my husband on here to validate that, because it's true. I'm not like a super particular person. You know, we were on a nature walk today and I put my daughter right down in a big pile of mud, and you know, she was already covered in sticky watermelon juice, and you know, I'm totally imperfect at these things. But despite that, I've come to realize as I mature as a wife and a housekeeper that there are things to enjoy even in laundry. There are things to enjoy even in dishes and even in scrubbing toilets, even if it's simply the satisfaction of having the job done and knowing that I don't have to, you know, scrub this toilet again for another week. There is satisfaction in that. There's satisfaction in serving a family and knowing that they're well cared for and clean and happy. More so, there's also satisfaction. I'm discovering there's satisfaction in being small. There really is. There's peace in accepting that I'm not a big deal. You know, and seriously, I can be scrolling Instagram, you know, where I admittedly spend no time and make no effort to have a presence. But I can be there, and I have good, close, wonderful friends that have these beautiful accounts, millions of followers, you know, and they are like ruling the world over there on Instagram. And I'm not even hardly there. And most of the time I don't care. But you know, there's this part of me that does care. But when I care, or even when I try and strive for that in a different way, maybe, there's a very little satisfaction for me in trying to grow big and have dominance and be powerful. There's very little satisfaction because I know in the end it's a lie. I'm still Nancy. I'm still just a mom at home in my basement talking to a microphone all by myself. I'm still just me, and I'm still just little old Nancy. And it's when I'm, you know, instead, when I'm in my house cleaning the dishes, you know, and I have a couple of grubby kids at my feet, and I know who I am, and I'm answering their questions, and no one else knows, and probably no one else cares, that, you know, I really do feel satisfied, because I feel like this is who I am. I'm little. I'm not a big deal. And that's okay. And that's honest. So, you know, instead of really striving to make a name for ourselves or push our way into the front of the pack, you know, I want to create a movement of women that are happy and satisfied in the small things that they are asked to do. And maybe we're asked to do big things. Maybe we're asked, you know, like Mother Teresa, she did so many little things, and in the end, it feels like she wasn't little at all, that she was this, you know, this huge figure that is still having impact on the world today. And that's incredible. But what she did to get there were little small things. And, you know, and that's what we're called to do. And so that's what I really thought, you know, an army of women, of Catholic women who can look at their day each day, see the little things. And some days we'll be frustrated, and some days we're just tired and worn out, of course. But to always hopefully go back to that idea that I am small, that I do small things, and that through those small things, there is a possibility for greatness. Not our own greatness, but bringing about the greater glory of God. So anyway, so that is the mission, the movement. of Catholic women. And I hope if you're here listening to me, you're inspired. And, you know, of course, this has nothing to do with anything I've ever come up with. It's all definitely things from St. Therese. But isn't that kind? Does that sound appealing to you? I'd love for you to come over to my blog and leave a message or leave a comment, I mean, and let me know if that resonates. You know, probably you're a couple steps ahead of me on the journey. Those of you that have been mothering for longer than I have and that have embraced the charism of St. Therese more fully, because you know what? It's definitely a struggle. I've shared a couple of times that I struggle with pride, and I also struggle with resentment. You know, sometimes I see my husband head off to work to do a job that I don't know how it, if anybody would ever do that if they weren't getting paid. And that's just my personality. I mean, he does a lot of computer and phone meetings and things like that, which just would seem make a very long day, in my opinion. But he does it well, and he's excellent at his work. But, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of resentment that I feel. Why do I have to stay home with the kids, you know, and have a teething baby crying in my ear all day long and, you know, a jabbering toddler that thinks he's Darth Vader and keeps whacking me with an umbrella. You know, why am I here washing out the fridge? You know, I could be doing amazing things, you know. And of course, again, I wanted to be an at-home mother. I shared that at the beginning, but it's hard. It's hard even when you know something is good, and it's hard even you're, you know, yes, I want to do small things. You know, I want to write it on my planner. I want to put it on a shirt. And even once you do that, it's still freaking hard to do it. And it's hard every day to choose it. But that's one of the things, that is one of the key things that I have learned. And of course, you know, we kind of know it already, but I've learned it through all this marriage research, is that it is always a choice. Love in whatever capacity. Love, whether it's for our children, for our spouse, for ourself, or for our God, is always a choice. You know, as kids, or, you know, if we're led to believe what Hollywood shows us, you know, it's that love is something that happens to us. You know, you get struck or you can't help but falling into it. You know, that's not really love, right? Often that's lust or thrill or something. But no, love is always a choice. And even loving ourselves, to be honest about who we are, that we're small, that we're humble, that we're imperfect, that we're not the most popular person on Instagram, that I don't get the most page views, that I can't write a viral post. You know, like, that's fine. That's who I am. And I'm going to choose to focus on what I really am instead of striving after something that I can never be. I'm really just a small person. I do small things, but through those small things, greatness. So there you have it. I don't know if that qualifies for a small thing, but you know what? This is my podcast, so I'm going to say it does. So there you go. I hope next week that I do have an interview for you and you don't have to just listen to me go on and on about ideas of grandeur again, but maybe you will. I'm not sure. I'm just so thrilled, so tickled with all of you that stopped and left a review on iTunes. I mean, seriously, so nice of you. Thank you. I always fear no one will do it, and people come through like magic. Thank you, thank you. And so really, really consider what I've talked about in this episode. I hope it at least pops up in your mind in the next coming days, and yeah, that it makes a difference. And so there you have it. There's our episode. And like I've said this whole episode, I'm right there on the journey with you, doing one small thing at a time. Carry on, and I'll see you soon.